Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started.
Hello there. Today on the Whole and Healthy Life podcast, it is me, Laura, giving you a solo episode where I'm going to be talking about the three missing pieces to a whole and healthy life, or the three missing pieces that I tend to see in a lot of people who naturally kind of focus on some of the big hitters of health and wellbeing and miss out on some of these smaller areas, which are actually, I feel, way more important. So I'm quite excited to talk to you guys about these. First of all, I think what we tend to see in, you know, whether that's whenever we tend to hear a conversation about health and well-being, it tends to focus on food, or it focuses on exercise, or something around those two particular areas. And if you follow me on my blog, you'll know that I talk quite a lot about how those are very important, but how they're not the only things that are important. And often I find that it's the things that are missing from people's lives that when they are in place, make food and exercise become a lot easier. And that when we just focus on food and exercise, it can feel like we're trying to just climb up this massive hill with a heavy, heavy weight. And it's so, so hard. But when we have these, some of these other things in place, it becomes so much easier to actually make the changes that we feel that we might need to make around those things. So first of all, I want to talk a little bit about connection as a missing piece of well-being. And when I talk about connection, that can be connection in so many different ways. It can be connection to other people. It can be connection to nature. It can be connection to some kind of divinity or spiritual connection. But I find that, and I know in my life that was something that I didn't really realise was a missing piece until I actually found it. But having those connections, I think, is really, really important, because as a human being, we're not meant to, you know, we're not meant to not be connected. We are, by our very nature, supposed to be connected with one another and connected to the earth that we live on, and connected to a some kind of, shall we say, you know, higher, you know, divinity of some kind. And I know that there might be people who are listening who that doesn't resonate with, but it might be another similar kind of feeling that you might get from connection in other ways that might cover that. But I find it really, really interesting, because it's not something that many people really talk about when it comes to the wellbeing conversation. But I just feel it's so vital, because, you know, when we don't have that connection, it's so easy to allow food to step in and become the source of connection that we crave elsewhere in our life, and become a habit or a form of behaviour that becomes really negative or destructive in our life. So I think that we need to have that focus on actually having those connections, and how we foster those and grow them and make them stronger. And I know especially a lot of women, I don't know whether or not this resonates with anyone who's listening, but a little while ago, I can remember seeing a few conversations online between women who really felt very lonely because they didn't have that connection with other women. They didn't have a lot of friends, perhaps they'd moved to a new area, and they didn't have that connection to other women, and the deep kind of loneliness and sadness that left them feeling. And that was something that I could relate to myself as well, although I've got a couple of best friends that, you know, sometimes those relationships kind of ebb and flow, like many things in life. And I think it's, you know, it can be really important for some women to have those connections. And thankfully, when I had Finley, I kind of went to some mother and baby groups and met a group of three women who are just, they're like family now. We are so, you know, we're really, really close, and we have those really amazing relationship with each other. But it's not always that easy, and I think just being aware of the fact that we need those connections with people, or with nature, or with, you know, anything that makes us feel good, is a really important aspect of well-being that can massively be a missing element if we don't have that awareness about it. And I mean, I will come up with something at the end a bit, because one of the things that I realise that people might find when they get to the end of this podcast is like, well, that's like three other things I need to be thinking about. Like, how do I possibly start to consider all of these different things, but I will talk about that feeling of overwhelm at the end. So my invitation to you today is really just to think about, you know, in what ways do you feel connected, or in what ways do you feel disconnected, and how can you create more connection in your life? I wrote a blog post actually I think it was at the start of the year, when I'd really realised that I felt a massive disconnect between my mind and my body, and I felt like I was just operating from the neck up. And I think this is something that in this world of, you know, not, you know, doing lots of very thinking type of work, and even just being on social media and being on computers a lot and not doing a lot of physical stuff, we become a bit detached, and that mind-body connection starts to become disconnected. So for me personally, it was things like I know for me, yoga is a really, really important way that I connect my mind and body, and that I feel really deeply connected into my body. Tracking my menstrual cycle really helps with that connection as well. So it might be that you know that you feel similar to the way that I was feeling and have that bit of a disconnect between your mind and body. So it might be that you want to investigate how you can foster that connection a little bit more. Again, for me, the connection with nature has been becoming more important for me recently. I really notice the difference when I'm not getting it. Like as I record this, the weather is absolutely appalling. It's totally chucking it down. It's June. It's horrible out there. And I'm really feeling that disconnect with the seasons and what my body seems to expect the weather to be doing and what it's not. And the fact that I haven't been outside and stood on grass for like the last few days is a really, really strange kind of disconnection that I'm feeling right now. So you start become really aware of these things, I think, when you start to recognise that they do actually have an impact on your well-being. So that's connection. And then the second thing, and again, any of you guys who read my blog regularly or certainly have listened to previous episodes of this podcast will know that I bang on quite a lot about mindset. And I really do think that it is just the biggest missing piece of the puzzle when it comes to well-being for so many women. When we have experiences, often in our like childhood, adolescent years, that tend to forge themselves into patterns of behaviour, and that we don't address or that we don't even realise that we're doing, that can have such a destructive effect on our relationship with food, on our ability to take care of our bodies and not self-sabotage the things that we know are actually going to help us feel good, you know, and have a healthy, happy lifestyle. So around mindset, I mean, I could literally talk about this all day long, but I think a good place to start is just to look at some of the behaviours that you might have and try and identify, you know, what is the, you know, what might be behind that? What kind of experience might you have had that could be causing you to behave or think in that way? And often a good way to think about it is that a behaviour is often, or always actually, a result of a thought. And where are those thoughts coming from? You know, what is the, you know, what's driving that? And to start to break that down, because I think that's an incredibly interesting way to look at some aspects of your well-being. And again, you know, some of us have deeply ingrained, I don't even know how to describe it, but deeply ingrained patterns in our minds about how worthy we are and what we deserve. And those things can often play out around our health and well-being, as well as many, many other areas of our life. But they can be incredibly destructive around our health and well-being. So it's really interesting to start getting your head around some of the mindset stuff and seeing what is actually, you know, where do you find resistance? That's a really good question to ask yourself, is where do I feel resistance when it comes to my health and well-being? You know, if you find resistance in self-care, where does that resistance come from? Is it guilt? Is it a feeling that you're not worthy of taking care of yourself? Is it a feeling that you only have worth when you are taking care of other people? You know, it can get really, really deep, but that's when you know that you're on the right track, because you're actually starting to uncover the stuff that needs to be uncovered and actually look at have the conversations with yourself that are going to be helpful around that. So that's mindset. And then the third thing that I see so often with people that is missing around well-being is cultivating joy and bliss in their life. And I know that sounds a bit kind of twee when I say joy and bliss, and a bit kind of like, you know, unicorns with rainbows shooting out of their backsides. But it's really true, because when we, you know, when we feel deprivation in any area of our lives, it's going to take a toll. And I think what joy and bliss does, and I mean, naturally, you know, not everyone has like a, you know, no one has a perfect life. You know, everyone has feelings of stress or sadness or anger or depletion or deprivation in different areas of their life. What joy and what cultivating joy and bliss does is it offsets that. So, you know, whatever area of your life you might have that, you know, isn't like a level 10 on the scale, having some joy and bliss cultivated in other areas of your life is going to help offset that and just create a much better balance. And when that happens, you don't feel the need to self-sabotage. You don't need to medicate or numb out with food as much as what you might previously do. And it's just a wonderful way of, you know, kind of, I mean, let's face it, you know, we've got to remember that this health and well-being thing, you know, it isn't an act unto itself. You know, the practice of being healthy and the practice of working on your well-being is not to necessarily, I don't believe anyway, be healthy and have well-being. It's to live your life to the fullest. And when you're missing a massive piece of the puzzle, which is actually having a joyful life, then it kind of misses the point. For me anyway, and like I say, it's I can only ever really talk from personal experience when it comes to many of these things and the experience of clients and women in my communities. But, you know, it's such a missing piece, because ultimately it's like, it's asking yourself, what is the point of doing stuff if you're not here to live a life which is, you know, enriched for yourself and also enriching for others? And by the way, you know, when you cultivate your own joy and bliss, you give other people the permission to do so themselves. And when you're feeling full, you've got so much more to offer other people as well. So it is an important conversation to have, and it's an important thing to think about for yourself. And I know a lot of women who just kind of don't really know what lights them up. And what I would say to you guys is that this is a fantastic opportunity for you to get curious about what makes you feel good, get curious about what makes you feel joyful, and what makes you feel happy. Because that will have, and honestly, I think some of these things have a much bigger impact on our health and well-being than we actually realise. And yet I totally get that food and exercise are really important. But without these things, it's kind of going through the motions. And I'm just so passionate about these things actually being part of the well-being conversation. Because when they're not, we're just missing the biggest part of the picture. When it comes to my mind, you know, we say, I mean, and from my personal experience, you know, I was eating, you know, what some people would call like a perfect diet, you know, but there was a massive missing part of my life, and that was the joy and bliss that I was missing. It was the overall deprivation that I felt in my life because I was eating so much of a restricted diet. It was the lack of connection with my own desire, I think, and my own needs that was missing. And now I might not eat as, you know, perfectly healthy diet as what I did then, but I'm so much healthier and happier because I actually factor these three things into the conversation. You know, and I could go on, I could talk about things like stress and sleep and relationships, which I think actually comes under connection here. So, you know, you can expand it to all sorts of different elements of well-being, but I actually think that these three things have such an enormous positive knock-on effect that when you do actually include these in the thoughts that you have around your own well-being, that they can help everything and can actually make a real difference. So those three things I mentioned were connection, mindset, and joy or bliss, or however you might want to put just having a really, really good time and enjoying yourself and not feeling guilty for it, which is what often tends to happen. We feel good and then we feel guilty, and that's where you need to work on the mindset stuff. But like I said before, when we hear those things listed out, that can feel like, you know, that's three chunky things to try and think about. And the last thing that any of us needs is to feel even more overwhelmed with anything. So what I would say is, if there's one thing to focus on to begin with, it would be the joy and bliss element. Because when you start to practice that and put that on your agenda and get curious about it, it's going to have like a cascading effect down the rest of your well-being. It really, really is. It's going to start highlighting, if there is mindset stuff, it's going to start highlighting that in a big, big way, because you're going to see the resistance come up. It's going to highlight connection. You know, if you're not feeling the connection, often joy and bliss is connection. So discovering that and what that looks like for you is really, really helpful. So a simple way to look at this is to just focus on the joy and bliss and let that cascade down through other areas of your life. And it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be like these big grand things. It can just be, you know, taken. And I mean, sometimes I just think, God, I sound so cheesy when I talk about some of these things, but it is actually true. It can just be taken. Like today, I just took a couple of minutes. It was really chucking it down with rain. I opened the window and just stared out the window with my cup of tea and just appreciated how lovely the rain sounded. And although I was like kind of annoyed that we've got this shitty weather in June, it was just nice just to look out the window and just take that 5 minutes. And that was just a little bit of something that made me happy and that lifted me up a little bit. It doesn't have to be these big grand things. It can just be the tiny little things. And sometimes it is just that noticing the things that make you feel that little bit of joy. Sometimes for me, it's just, you know, I might be in a moment with Finley. Like yesterday, we were dancing around in the living room to some music and, you know, he was laughing. And it was just one of those moments that I wish I could have just took a like an emotional snapshot of. It was so lovely. And it was just that, it was just being in that moment and appreciating it for what it was so joyful and made me feel so happy. And it can just be those little things that make a really add up to make a massive difference. It really, really can. And it does it just because it just changes everything. You know, when you're feeling that that way of being filled up, you don't need as much to rely on food for that. You don't have to get, you know, food is a big source of pleasure, and I think it's a, you know, it's really important that we get some pleasure from our food. But when it is all about, you know, when all pleasure comes from food, that's when it's a disjointed, dysfunctional kind of relationship. I think we've got to look for it in every part of our lives that we can, and I think that's so important to create that that kind of, well, dare I say, that more wholehearted view of well-being when we look at it from that point of view, if that makes sense. So I hope that that's been interesting. I think this is probably a bit of a short and sweet one. Like I said, I could probably waffle on about mindset for like days. But I could about connection and joy and bliss as well. But what I would love for you guys who are listening to this today to think about is just to think about the joy and bliss one. If there's one thing that you take out of this one, you know, are you experiencing, you know, something that brings you a little bit of joy every day? And if not, how can you start and like grow that in your life? One of the things that I use is my bullet journal, and I've got a habit tracker in it, which is just like a simple grid. I'll put a link in the show notes to a post where I talk a little bit about this. And I have one of the columns that I tick off as joy, and it just helps me remind me that I should be paying attention to things that bring me joy, or and doing things that bring me joy, because that is going to have and appreciating that it's okay. I deserve to feel that. I'm not taking anything away from anyone else by feeling joy and happiness. Even when you know, and as I'm recording this, here in the UK, where you know we've had some very, very terrible things happening in this country over the last couple of weeks, and it can feel. And I know this from conversations that I had in some of my online communities after what happened in Manchester, was that you can feel like that you aren't allowed to feel good or happy or joyful when other people are suffering so much. And I totally understand that. And I think it's important to process how you feel about those things and feel the sadness and the anger and stuff that comes up, and to try and transmute that into something that's actually positive by whether that's donating money to a good cause or, you know, if you want to get woo about it, sending healing energy out into the world. However, one of the best ways that you can come back against that kind of evil and destruction is by feeling good yourself, because you serve no one any purpose when you are denying yourself that, like literally no one. There's no good purposes that are going to come from you not feeling good. You know, sometimes your mindset issues might tell you otherwise, but in reality, there's really nothing else that, you know, there's no better way to serve others and to serve the world than you actually being happy and finding joy in your own life. Because when you do that, you know, you're going to feel deeply connected. You're going to actually feel empathy for these things that are going on. You're going to be able to have a good relationship with money so that you actually donate to some of these causes that you feel so passionate about. And it's something that I do get really, really vocal and passionate about, because I get frustrated when I see that we are, so many of us women are denying ourselves this. And, you know, we're not seeing how important this is, and we're not appreciating the fact that when we do feel good and when we do cultivate that, that it has not just a positive effect on us, but on everybody else. And that's the main message. That's my take-home message today, guys, is to cultivate your joy and bliss. And in doing so, remember that you are not just doing something good for yourself, but you're doing something good for others. Because more, honestly, can you imagine how different this world would be if everyone was following the joy and bliss? Especially in times like this, it would be completely different. We wouldn't have half the issues that we've got now. Any of the issues that we've got now, to be honest, if people were just doing, kind of taking responsibility. And I mean, that's another thing. I've realised I'm waffling now, but I feel this is an important point. Another thing that's really important, and this is, again, another realisation that I had personally, like last year, was that, you know, no one else is responsible for your happiness. And that might bring some, you know, just listening to that might bring some stuff up for you. But for me, realising that, like, you know, my happiness is not my husband's responsibility. My happiness is not my son's responsibility. It's not my parents' responsibility or even my friend's responsibility. Me being happy is down to me. No one else. And when I took full responsibility for that, I stopped. It improved the relationship I have with my husband, because I wasn't blaming him for shit that wasn't his fault. And it meant that I was fully empowered to actually do what it takes for me to feel good. I don't have to ask permission from anyone else, and I don't have to expect it to be gifted to me. It's something that I have to take responsibility for. And again, you know, listening to that might bring some stuff up for you, and I would invite you to sit with that and see what that brings up, if it feels a bit icky. But, you know, you are responsible for you feeling good. It's as simple as that. And I know that there's so many horrible, horrible things going on in the world. And that aside, and, you know, I'm not talking about some of the atrocities that happen to people and their expectations. But ultimately, it does boil down to the fact that we are responsible for our own happiness and for finding, you know, little bits of joy in every day, and letting that, you know, make our lives, you know, just become, it goes even past the well-being conversation for me, and it comes out to something else, because I think, and I think that's where I am personally, is that the well-being conversation is almost too limiting now, because when we talk about, for me, when I talk about well-being, I'm talking about something much bigger than what I think most people see well-being as. So I'm going to stop now before I keep on waffling. But I really hope that's been an interesting episode for you guys, and just giving you, even if it's just giving you some things to think about, even if it's just inspired you to think about, you know, how can I just stop and smell the roses a little bit more often during the day, then my work here is done, guys. So do, as always, if you've enjoyed this episode, do feel free to share it. Do leave us a review on iTunes. Me and Kezia would be so appreciative of that. And also a reminder that we still have a couple of tickets left for our retreat in Oxford, that is going to happen at the end of September. We would absolutely love for you guys to come and join us. Those tickets will probably be going quite soon, so and obviously time is ticking on, dare I say, now that we're in June, with the summer coming up. So we'd absolutely love to see some of you guys there. So you can find out all the details for that at Whole and Healthy. So it's not Whole and Healthy, I always say this, wholehealthylive.com. So that's wholehealthylive.com/retreats. And you'll also be able to find all the details of the retreat on that. If you go to wholehealthylive.com, you'll be able to find the show notes for this episode as well, if you would like to have a look at some of the things that I've mentioned. But yeah, I hope that that's given you some food for thought. although, like I say, not all about food, but food for thought today. And I hope you have a beautiful day wherever you are. And Kezia and I will be back very soon. Mm-hmm.